This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped upon the hadith about people who are peeping or spying upon one another. And that theme, it continues in today's hadith that we find, because prior to this action, or after this action, we find prior to it could be an element of suspicion, of one, and after it as well, to follow that suspicion. And thus we find that in prophetic traditions, severe warnings of staying away, of being suspicious about people, especially towards other Muslims. And thus the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنِّ فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. He said, woe upon you, stay away from conjecture, speculation, suspicion, following bad thoughts. For indeed, suspicion is the most evil or the worst of speeches, the worst of actions. وَلَا تَحَسَّسُوا وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Don't seek or search for the faults of other people. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Don't spy upon one another. وَلَا تَنَافَسُوا. Don't compete with one another towards materialism of this world. وَلَا تَحَاسَدُوا. Don't be jealous of one another. وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا. Don't begin to hate one another. وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا. And don't begin to go against one another or forsake one another. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. But be all of you brethren in the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadith in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. And as we mentioned many times, many of the ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam are just replicas of verses from the Quran. وَمَا يَمْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever he speaks is divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus you find that many, if not all of the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when it comes to tashri', comes to legislation, you find they're similar in wordings to the Quran. And that's inside the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about exactly the same theme inside Surah Al-Hujurat, about these evil practices or these bad moral habits that we find, not just previously, but even today as well. That is the key lesson that time and time again we're trying to drill inside ourselves, inside our society, that the themes and the lessons of the Quran are even more applicable today than they were yesterday. At the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they had the best role model, Qudwa. وَالرَّسُولُ فِيكُمْ. Messengers amongst them to help change them, or yuzakki him, to purify them, a living example, embodiment, that he can rectify them, reconcile them, tell them straight away what to do and how to better themselves. We don't have the messenger in front of us anymore, but we have his sunnah that could inspire us and lead us to begin to change ourselves. That's the same hadith, the replica of this hadith comes inside Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th chapter of the Quran, 18 verses. And that's their key themes, key surahs and verses inside the Quran that we all need to go back and read and study, and more importantly, apply inside our lives. Surah Al-Hujurat is only 18 verses. And we mentioned many times that if we apply these 18 verses, we'll find the ideal Islamic society. And that's why we should read such surahs and read such ayat to get a depiction of that model, Islamic model, that society. If you look at many works of tafasir like Ibn Kathir, speaking about this surah, even person wants to get a more detailed description, read Imam Shawkani's Fathul Qadir. In his tafsir, you find you can classify maybe as a contemporary tafsir, only written, or he passed away 190 years ago. Imam Shawkani, Tawufiya fi San'a, city in Yemen that we find, a land, Balad al-Hikmah, a land of wisdom. Imam al-San'ani, Sahib al-Subul al-Salam, fi Sharh Bulugh al-Maram, Ulama al-Ajilla that we find. This shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't condensed that. Some of us think that ilm is in certain location. كم مرات نقلنا عن أئمة من الأندلس علماء مفسرين from the land of Andalus, current day Spain that we find, all the way from there, all the way to Al-Yemen, to حتى الإفريقيا that we find, Mauritania, حتى Nigeria that we find, Uthman Danfodi, صاحب مفسر عالم في التفسير. This is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He spreads it out wherever he wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any individual who studies the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes a benchmark. Not that some of us, we think that certain environments is the only place, condensed, this is the only place that people of knowledge can thrive or they can come from. That's partially true. But ardullahi wasi'a, the land of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is vast and open. That Allah placed in so many different environments and continents, people who will come and understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leave behind a legacy, heritage for people to begin to read. Ayyuhal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابٌ رَحِيمٌ. As we mentioned some of these works of tafsir, read Imam Shawkani's Fathul Qadir, how he speaks about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has depicted al-ghiba ka'aklu al-mayta, that backbiting is like eating flesh, dead flesh. This is something repulsive by the nature of the human being, because to eat flesh is repulsive, and to speak about your living, just like the dead person doesn't know you're eating from that corpse, from their flesh, likewise the living person doesn't know that you're backbiting about them. And you find that the nufus, they find this repulsive. So imagine now the sharia coming on top of that, something which is naturally repulsive for a human being, that this depiction of eating something which is dead, dead flesh, and not just any dead flesh, the flesh of a human being, and then not just of any human being, the dead flesh of a human being, of a Muslim individual. That's enough to make a person to begin to reflect how severe this evil or this habit is. And inside the same ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning about spying and being jealous upon one another that we find. And prior to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Oh, you believe if a rebellious person comes to you with some news, verify that news. Lest فَتُصْبِحُ عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. That lest you begin to become regretful regarding your actions or your statements of what you do. And that's why ulama mentioned that when a person follows suspicion, person may feel regretful later on, but some of them mention it doesn't make no difference. Because your regret cannot bring back change time, as they say. Cannot change the words you uttered. Cannot change the environment, what you created, because of you following that suspicion of carrying it out. This ayah, sabab al-nuzul, as Imam Shawkani mentions, other ulama al-mufassirin, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ. The context of this is speaking about Al-Walid ibn Uqba, who's been sent to Al-Harith to go and collect the zakah. Remember, these are companions, these are people around the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, showing us that if this is what we want to extract, that if those blessed people can fall into something, then how is it not possible that today we can't fall into such severe actions? So Al-Harith was waiting for somebody to come and collect the zakah, because he made a pledge when he entered Islam that I will collect the zakah for my people and I'll deliver it to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he's waiting for a messenger to come. For some reason the messenger was delayed, so he got this thought that maybe some calamity, some difficulty has befallen the Muslims. So I need to now go to Medina and deliver this zakah myself. So he's on his way to return back to Medina or come to Medina. Al-Walid ibn Uqba has been sent by the Prophet ﷺ to go and find out why has the zakah been delayed. As he travels out, he returns back. Doesn't meet the individual. And he relays, he says that this individual, he mana'ani min az-zakah wa arada an yaqtulani. He prevented to give me the zakah and he tried to kill me. So now this enraged the Prophet ﷺ, because as they say, you never kill the messenger, you never threaten the messenger. You've gone to collect something on behalf of the messenger, the Prophet ﷺ. So when Al-Walid ibn Uqba, he returns, so the Prophet ﷺ has said, or when he meets Harith, he says that, what's the matter? Why didn't you deliver the zakah? Did I not send a messenger to you to deliver? He said, no one came to me. And no one asked me. Rather, I was fearful that you haven't sent anyone, so I came to you. So this shows the concept of news. That imagine if the Prophet ﷺ did attack this individual, did attack the tribe, did attack all of them, without verifying the news, reconciling, finding out. So imagine this happened at blessed time. Imagine the news which is spread around us at the moment. Whether it be on a global scale. Look at many of us Muslims. We are very gullible. We're very shallow. We're very weak. In today's language that we find, WMD, weapons of mass destruction. Where are they? Where do they exist? Quran says, يَا يَلَّذِينَ أَمْرُ إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. The first people who jump on the bandwagon are Muslims. That Muslims have this threat. Muslims have these weapons. Muslims are destroying people. عَلَىٰ أَيِّ أَسَاسِ. Upon what basis? Upon news that is spread. False news, false information. فَتُصْبِحُ عَلَىٰ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. You become regretful. You find that even حَتَّى الْكَفْرَ الْيَوْمِ, the disbelieving individuals, even the previous prime minister of this country, he accepts. And he clearly states, there were no weapons of mass destruction. تَصَوَّرُ هَذَا. The same person who led this country to war is the same person who says that there are no weapons. It could be a great big fallacy. And God will judge me for what I've done. And God will judge you if you die in that state. But the lesson for us is us Muslims. That how many of us we follow this news and this information and we demonize our own Muslims. And even if we take it on a minor scale, this is how shallow some of us Muslims are. That so-and-so sat with another individual. So-and-so was filmed with another individual. So-and-so was a photograph with another individual. So-and-so attended such a gathering. This person is guilty by default. By being with another Muslim, he's a deviant, he's a corrupt, he's a lost individual, he's an ignorant individual. These are the extremities that we find inside our society. Because why? Of conjecture, of dhan, speculation which has no basis that some of us we follow inside our lives. Rather, some of us we thrive, we live off it. If this YouTube world that we find, people live off this gossip, slander, making up stories, extracting stories. Spreading these tales about people, the hadith states, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنْ فَإِنَّ الظَّنْ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. Stay away from conjecture, speculation, it's the worst of speech. And as we mentioned, that many ulama mentioned that after this, you can feel regretful, it doesn't make a difference. Because the dangers of what you've carried out are far more severe. And thus you find, suspicion leads to false speech, leads to seeking people's faults. Leads to speaking ill about other people behind their backs. And it leads to eventually destroying people and relationships and Islamic brotherhood. These are the channels where it leads to. وَيَنْقُلْ Imam Shawkani fi tafsiri عن Imam Al-Qurtubi وَيَقُولْ أَنَّ أَكْثَرُ الْعُلَمَاءِ, says that the majority of ulama, أَنَّ أَظَّنَّ الْقَبِيحِ بِمَنْ ظَاهِرُهُ فِيهِ خَيْرِ لَا يَجُوزْ أَظَّنْ فِيهِ. He says the majority of ulama go to the view that a person who externally looks is a good individual, most of their life is a good individual. For you to have bad thoughts of that individual is not allowed. ظَاهِرُهُ خَيْرٌ. And he maybe once in a while they may have said something wrong, done something wrong. وَمَنْ مِنَّا, who amongst us? لَا يُخْطِئْ فِي كَلَامِهِ أَوْ فِي أَخْلَاقِهِ أَوْ فِي شَيْءٍ مِنْ. And hayatihi, who amongst us doesn't make a mistake? Any individual, you can search through their life and not find a mistake. You can find mistakes, pages of mistakes. That's for any individual. That's not what the Sharia is about, to sit there and dissect an individual. You can listen to any individual. Allahan fi qawlihi, mistakes inside their speech, or fil khitaba, or qira'at al-Quran, or al-ayat, or al-hadith, or al-fiqh, or al-fahm, fi uslubihi. So many things a person can sit there and channel through and shift it through and say, this is this person. Is that what our intent in life is? To be channeling and shifting through people? When Imam Qurtubi mentions, when majority of a person is khair, goodness, person shouldn't be so delved into that. Walakin al-aqs, the opposite. Man kana dhahiru annahu fasiq. The apparent of a person, the person is full of fisq. Wa fisquhu zahir. All the time they're involved in sins, open sins, it's all visualized, everything. Look at our mentality. Muslims say, no, give the person benefit of the doubt. Aktharul ulama. Majority of the ulama say, there is no benefit of a doubt for a person. Anna dhairuhu fasiq. That the apparent of this person is always full of sinning in public, not in secrecy, in public. Here you don't begin to have good run of this person, have a good thought about this person. Because this isn't once, this is continuously visible amongst people. But it shows that the whole of our parameters are always misunderstood. Our assess is misunderstood, that we apply things on the wrong people, at the wrong time. Because once again, there could be a media agenda how to apply certain things that some of us have been brainwashed with. That apply it on this, but don't apply it on that, is what we find inside a society as well. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not seek out. وَلَا تَحَسَّسُوا. In the hadith first, it mentions, don't seek out another's faults. Don't go out to seek another individual's faults. يَا بَنِيَّ اِذْحَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسَفُ. The only time it's allowed that you find inside Surah Yusuf, Ya'qub says, فَتَحَسَّسُوا. Ibhathu and Yusuf. Go and find Yusuf, your brother. Go and search for him. Go and find him. Wa akhihi wa la tayasu min rawhillah. And his brother, Binyamin. And don't despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how relevant these ayat or this surah is to this hadith as well. Adhan, speculation, beginning thoughts. Hey, shaitan whispers to the brethren of Yusuf, that indeed your father loves Yusuf and his brother more than he loves you. Just a thought. That thought plays on their mind, and what do? They now take Yusuf away from their father, place him inside the well, and I'm sure all of us are familiar with the rest of the story. Jealousy, rancor, ill feeling, breaking of brotherhood. All of this inside this Yusuf is exactly the same theme as inside Surah Al-Hujurat, the same theme as this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Then the hadith mentions, don't spy upon one another. Here we find linguistically, ulama begin to discuss about وَلَا تَحَسَّسُوا وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Inside the Quran, mentions وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَقَدْ قُرِئَ بِالْحَاءِ كَذَلِكَ وَلَا تَحَسَّسُوا. Read as well by ulama Qurra, without the jim, with the ha. And all the haruf are the same except for one nuqta. And ulama al-lugha said there's no difference between the two. فرق بسيط. تحسسوا أن تبحث لنفسك. تحسسوا carries the meaning you go in search for something for your own self. You're trying to find something about someone or for your own self. وتجسسوا أن تكون رسولا لغيرك. With jim it means you will become a messenger. You're searching for somebody else to find mistakes about a person to relay it back to them. You find searching ikhbar and innas, to find information about people to begin to expose them, to begin to speak out against them, that we find. There is in the Sharia an elements of tajassus, spying, which is allowed in certain elements of warfare or benefits that we find. But not what we find in today's world that we find. That if we speak openly, then we find a new type of espionage that we find. Muslims who spy on other Muslims. Dawla ani dawla. One country spies another Muslim country. For what benefit? Even if you study their benefit, it isn't like if you study what is espionage, the Cold War, the Soviet Union against the Americans, spying on one another, building their intelligence, building their weaponry. Maybe they had a purpose, they had an intent. There was some benefit there that existed for them possibly. But what benefit do we have? A Muslim country spying on another Muslim country. For what benefit? For what intent? And all this leads to وَلَا تَنَافَسُوا. Don't compete with one another. Competing what? In goodness? Here the intent is competing in material things. وَلَا تَنَافَسُوا. Boast and compete inside this dunya. وَحَتَّى مَنْ قَال. Even though those people who say, what's wrong with developing the world? This is a minor element. Look at the end result of these extremities of being worried about the world. Look at them. Squandering of wealth. Wasting of wealth. slave labor, torture, harm, deaths, building things, destroying them, building them, destroying them. For what purpose? So even we, those people say there's no harm in being modern in the world, as some people try to justify. There could be some element of truth in that, but look at the greater picture. What has it led to? وَلَا تَنَافَسُوا. Warnings of the Prophet ﷺ. Don't compete with another regarding the world. What did he say? I fear for you what destroyed you, and what destroyed the people will destroy you like it destroyed the people before you, is you competing for this world. Will destroy you like it destroyed the people that came before you. وَلَا تَحَاسَدُوا. Don't be jealous of one another. As you find that jealousy, it burns away. In Hadith Sunnah Abi Dawood, burns away your good deeds. تَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارِ الْحَطَبِ. It burns, destroys your good deeds like fire burns wood. That's what jealousy does. And likewise, you find, وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا. Don't hate one another. A Muslim shouldn't hate another Muslim. This is by default a principle. A person should not be full of hatred towards another Muslim. وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا. Don't be at deviance towards one another. Be away from one another. Turn away from one another. We could, once again, politically, what do we find? We do turn away from one another. There are clear agendas, clear things that should concern us Muslims. And what have we done? We turn away from them. The land of Kashmir, the land of Palestine, we've turned away from it. It's not a political agenda. It's an Islamic agenda. How many people speak about it? How many people remind people 60 years on of occupation? We speak about the lockdown today, 60 years of lockdown, of oppression, being more and more siphoned in into more and more a strip of land, homed into that land, and barbed wires and walls and control over these people. من يتكلم لهم? Who speaks for them today? Who raises their concern today? Who expresses their concern today? وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا. But we've turned away from one another because we have other interests, we have other concerns that we think are more important than the concern of this Muslim Ummah. The concern of unity. وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. After all of this, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. All of you become brethren towards one another. Because all of these factors, they destroy brotherhood. They destroy unity, which many of us, we can't seem to understand. And I hate to use such words, but because in our petty mindset, we only see certain things. We don't see the agenda of the Quran and Sunnah. We don't see the agenda of the Muslim Ummah. We don't see the agenda of the world around us. As we return back to Surah Al-Hujurat that we find, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَهُمَا. Inside this surah, you find three different times Allah SWT speaks directly, indirectly about Muslim brotherhood, about unity. If two groups of the Muslims, believing Muslims, believers, they fight one another, then try to reconcile amongst them. Don't begin to add more problems and fitna towards the society. Try to reconcile. Read the Sabab al-Nuzul regarding this. One of the companions he mentioned to the Prophet alayhi salam, let us go to Abdullah ibn Ubay. Ra'isul Munafiqeen. The head of the hypocrites. Let us go. Let us go and speak to him, engage with him, give him da'wah, advise him. So when the Prophet alayhi salam, he travels towards Abdullah ibn Ubay, he says, هذا ذكر في كتب التفاسير حديث في البخاري. He says, get away from me. Get the Prophet alayhi salam away from me, because indeed we find this evil smell coming. Some of the companions got angry with this and said that indeed the smell of the donkey of the Prophet alayhi salam smells better than you. So they began to argue and fight and slap and hit one another with sticks and ni'al and shoes, whatever they had. Abdullah ibn Ubay, he stands there and he rubs his hand and he laughs. Because who is fighting? وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَهُوَ رَئِيسُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. He's standing there watching them fight. This is the world today, dear brothers and sisters. This is the world today. The same imagery is today. Different icons, different slogans, different powers, but it's the same game. It's the same puppeteers. Pull the strings and hold back. And as we enjoy the show and we laugh at one another. That's what's taking place today, is the reality that we find. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Believers are brothers towards one another. أَخَوَيْكُمْ فِي بَعْدِ قِرَاءَةٍ إِخْوَتُكُمْ. They are your brothers, your brethren. Reconciled between the brothers. Then in the third place, Allah mentioned, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Ishara once again to unity, towards brotherhood. That believers are Muslims together who believe in Allah and believe in His Messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. These are the truthful individuals that we find. Not a mere lip service that we find, but trying to reconcile and try to drive the Muslims towards a concept of unity. We find that this lip service that some of us that we offer has become common inside our society that we find. The Quran reminds us about the concept of unity and working together to encourage and to revive ourselves. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِي إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. Allah mentions these ayat inside Surah Ali Imran, that remember the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama tafsir, Kamith ibn Kathir mentions about what is the rope of Allah. Al-Quran, Al-Sunnah, Al-Istiqamah, Al-Fara'id, Al-Wahda, unity, holding fast to the Quran, the Sunnah, obligatory actions, the Sharia. All of this carries the same meanings. And inside his tafsir, he mentions that he speaks about that you were brother, you were enemies towards one another, and then you became brethren. Al-Ansar is made up of Al-Aws wal-Khazraj, two tribes, many years of fighting amongst themselves. And the Prophet ﷺ, he unified them, brought them together. You were on the pits of the fire, and Allah rescued you, made you brothers, made you in a form of unity. Then Allah mentions twice, what are the sifat of these believing people that we need to instill amongst ourselves? You are people who do what? وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You can't just say that you believe. There has to arise amongst you that you order the good and you forbid the evil. This is something which is bitter, which is difficult. To order good and forbid evil. Who wants to do that, in essence? Who wants to make that sacrifice? Who wants to upset their home? Who wants to upset their life? Who wants to upset their family? Who wants to upset their culture? Who wants to upset their land? بِتَبِيعَتِهِ. No one wants to do that. That's the general format of a human being. But why do people do it? Why do we do it? Why do we have to do it? Because why? It's a commandment. It's not there just to sit there and to stand back and see everything just go past. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions again. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You're the best people ever raised up. That you order the good and you forbid the evil. So that becomes life of the believer. Whether it be ordering the good and forbidding the evil upon oneself, one's family members, and have the opportunity around them, and reminding people. That's the difference that we mentioned between Islam وَأَدْيَانْ أُخْرَى, and other ways of life or other religions, as they say. That's the difference. Because religion for other people is a private affair. It's a private relationship between you and God. And that's what some of us Muslims are trying to push inside society, that Islam is a private relationship between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ. And this is a great big downfall, leading towards the destruction of Islam. Islam is not just a personal relationship between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's between you and the society around you. and you're engaging in society around you. Not ibadah becomes personal. There is ibadat which are personal inside our lives. And there's ibadat which are a congregational ibadah that we need to do, that we need to engage in reminding ourselves and encouraging ourselves. And let's let the Quran speak. Quran mentions, "Inna hadhi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun." Twice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this slight different ending. The first time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions inside Surah Al-Anbiya. Inside the 21st surah that we find, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 11 prophets, very rarely inside the Quran does Allah mention a cluster of prophets by name again and again inside Surah Al-Nisa, Surah Al-An'am, we find this, and here inside Surah Al-Anbiya. And we find key ayat inside here. Speak about Ibrahim alayhi salam, waquni, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the fire, waquni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. We said to the fire, become, waqulna ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Said to the fire, become peaceful. Ayyub, when he calls out to Allah, I've been afflicted with calamity. Dhannun, idh nada fi dhulumat, he called out in the realms of the darknesses. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Numerous ayat inside this we find, then Allah builds up towards what? After speaking about the prophets, the name of the surah is the prophets. That indeed this ummah, inna hadhi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. Limadha? Why does Allah speak about, places this ayah inside Surah Al-Anbiya, speak about 11 different prophets, speaks about them, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then addresses the believers. It's not just lip service. We have to have a deeper reading, understanding of the Quran. Not live in our bubble world. We are one ummah, one nation, one people. Khitabul Quran is unique. It's us who try to twist it. That the Quran is speaking about me, speaking about this, speaking about that. Or this hadith speaks about specifically about this. The Quran and hadith are generic. Very rarely does hadith speak about a specific type of Muslim with a specific agenda. It speaks general. Al-Muslim, akhul Muslim. A Muslim is a brother, another Muslim. Haqqul Muslim, a Muslim. Right of a Muslim, another Muslim. It doesn't codify and say, no, if the person goes away, then this person doesn't have this right. It's generic. It's open. Likewise, the Quran as well is open. Of how Muslim is towards another Muslim that we find. The second time Allah mentions, "Inna hadhi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fattaqun." Indeed, this is one ummah, one nation. I'm your Lord. Fear only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Strange it is again, this ayah is placed inside Surah Al-Mu'minun. Inside the chapter called The Believers. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions all about the characteristics of the believing individuals. Then after it speaks about the last day and coming in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah mentions in verse number 52 that this is one ummah, one nation. And prior to this, Allah mentions, "Ya ayyuhar rusulu, kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salihan inni bima ta'maluna 'alim." Again, Allah mentions, "O messengers, eat and drink from the food that we've given you. Wa'malu salihan, carry out righteous actions. Indeed, I'm forever watching over you." Ayah inside Surah Al-Mu'minun speaking about the believers. Ayah comes straight after speaking about the messengers and about their lives and about what they've been told to do. The lesson is there for us that we need to move away from those bad moral habits and traits that we find which have been instilled within us. The media world around us, the paparazzi around us has created this inside Muslims to spy upon other Muslims, look down upon other Muslims, ridicule other Muslims, speak ill about other Muslims, find faults about other Muslims. And in today's world that we find, make videos about other Muslims, expose other Muslims. Try to find anything to defame another Muslim. That's what we've become. That's what our life has become. Why don't we home in spreading the teaching of Islam? Hours on end. It's no exaggeration. People spend hours on end. Hours on end searching and searching and searching and searching and find one thing and then exploit it inside society. Why don't we spend hours and hours and hours on end? في التدبر القرآن. About the message of the Quran. About the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. About reminding ourselves, reminding the people around us. Why don't we spend so many hours? هذا نف يكون نفع المتعدي. This is a benefit which has many, many benefits that go ongoing. That benefit is a very limited benefit in our mindset. That's what ulama have discussed, that a person الذي يقوم الليل person who stands all night praying. What's their parable to a person who may spend a few minutes, a few pages of reading in the night? Ulama have mentioned that a person who spends a few hours of reading excels a person who may spend all night in ibadah. Because naf'uhu khas, that's his own personal benefit. But a person who's trying to benefit the Muslim ummah, try to benefit the people, that goes a vast distance. It goes a vast distance in the things that they're trying to help to benefit the Muslim ummah. That's what we should be. We should be utensils of khair, of goodness. That's a person should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, use me as an instrument to deliver your message, to deliver it to the people. Use me as a tool to come to the people, to remind the people, remind myself. Don't let me waste my life in qila wa qal and this and that. And this was done and that was done. This was said, that was done. Maybe this happened, that happened. La. Spend your life, especially during these periods of lockdown that we find, in benefiting ourselves and making our life fruitful and making our end fruitful and making after the end of our life fruitful, to leave something behind that will benefit the Muslim ummah.